Welcome back. We're in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. Let's go. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, that we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints, and do minister. All right, so let's go and look at this. That's verses 9 and 10. It says, but, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. So just got done talking about falling away and kind of either giving up your salvation or being close to having it and pursuing God but turning against it, something like this. And so he's saying, we're confident of better things concerning you. We're confident that you can make better choices, confident that you'll love being with Jesus, confident that you'll want to spend time with him. And I can say that right now to you. I am confident that you will have a better life if you follow Jesus. Now, I don't mean that you may have a better, bigger house or more money or more stable job, not the prosperity gospel. I'm talking about what you get out of life. What you get out of life is bigger when you have Jesus. I'll give you a couple of recent examples. I had a friend whose father recently passed away, and I spent quite a bit of time beforehand, during, and afterwards praying for him, praying with him, texting him verses, just telling him that we're there for him. And it filled me up, right? Because serving fills us up. God built us to serve. God built us to come alongside and be in community with others. Another example, I had a friend who needed a lot of help in a certain area. I spent a lot of time over the past year trying to get him help in a certain area, and we did. And it's just been fulfilling, hard, but totally worthwhile and fulfilling. And so I know when I press in and do things that God designed me to do, that I actually run better, like an engine that gets its battery power if it's an electric vehicle, or a gas engine that gets the right kind of gas will run better than if you put some junk inside it. And we're unfortunately, we put too much junk inside of our bodies and our minds and our life, and we expect it to fulfill us. We buy all this new stuff, and we get a boat and a house and a lake house and a beach house and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And if I could only retire early and all this, it's all going to be, and then you're like, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm not enjoying it, because that's not what God designed us to do. So he's saying, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, that we speak in this manner. So if you have salvation, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can be assured of salvation. You can rest assured knowing that you have eternity, right? Everybody's going to live for eternity. Their soul will, right? There's no question about that. The question is, will you live it with God in the presence of God, or without God in the absence of God, right? In the absence of God, that is hell. In the presence of God, that is heaven. Where are you going to spend that eternity? Are you going to be condemned eternally in hell? Or are you going to have eternal life in heaven with God, with Jesus, with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? And that's what we want. That's what we want to work towards, meaning accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then you have it. And then you want to spend the rest of your life doing good works for other people's salvation. Not for yours, because from that, the moment you accepted Jesus, you're already saved. But your good works are what other people are going to look at. You're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and you're going to lead people to Christ through your words and through your actions. That's what our deeds are good for. So that's what we're working towards, and working towards glorifying God and being motivated by the things of him, and taking less motivation from the things of this life that have previously motivated us, that we would set our mind on things above, on heavenly things, not on things below, on earthly things. And verse 10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, right? What you do, the deeds, they don't save you. They can help save other people, meaning people, someone can be down and out and looking at you and watching you maybe one time, maybe 20 times, maybe over a period of years or decades, and finally they're like, you know what? I'm having a problem, and I think you may be able to help talk through it with me. All right, I've seen you be transparent with me. Now I'm going to be transparent with you. I've seen you go through hard times when that person had cancer and that person died, and there was a job, you lost a job, and you were down on money, and blah, blah, blah. Your kid had this. I've seen you persevere through those trials and those fires. Now I'm going through that fire and that trial, and I need help, right? Because it opens up that opportunity for people that they just watch us. And hopefully one day they have that, we have that conversation, and well, hopefully we have that conversation sooner than later. But if they're close to it, then hopefully one day they're open to it because they've seen us in action over time. And that's really what our deeds are the best thing for, right? And God says, by their fruits, they shall know you, right? By our fruits, by looking like Jesus, by being the hands and feet of Jesus, people will get to see and experience Jesus in moments. We're not Jesus. We're not perfect. We're not righteous. But the things that we do that are motivated for Jesus and pointing people to Jesus, right, those are powerful. Those are the things that we're actually designed to do. That's how he designed us, to worship him in that manner. And what a privilege it is. And I'm telling you from experience that when I do that, I'm far more fulfilled and satisfied and have more peace and joy than any material thing could provide to me on this earth. The material thing just wears off very quickly. It doesn't build on each other. It actually has a kind of a reverse slippery slope type of the deal. The more material things you get, the less utility, the law of diminishing returns, the less joy you get out, or happiness you get out of each item. And so then that's where you see a lot of people end up on drugs and divorce and rehabs and suicide and all that stuff, because they're just like, there's nothing fun. There's nothing fun. It's like, well, because you weren't designed to worship yourself and to maximize your pleasure in this hedonism philosophy. You're designed to worship God. That means serving others, sacrificing, right? Helping others. So God won't forget our deeds that are done for him, that are motivated for him. The unbelievers will go to the great white throne judgment. The believers will go to the Bema seat of Christ. At the great white throne judgment, unbelievers will be presented with their sins and condemned eternally for that. At the Bema seat of Christ, Jesus is not going to condemn you. He's not going to bring up that thing that you did in third grade or when you were 30 years old, or the thing with your wife or your kids or your job or any of this. He's just going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And then he's going to give you rewards, eternal rewards, based on the things that you did during this life that were motivated by him. You put your name on a building because you gave so much money, you're not going to get a reward for that. Why? Because you got the glory during your lifetime. People got to see your name and, idolize you. You're going to be rewarded only for things that are done purely for the advancement of the kingdom for Jesus. So those are the rewards that we're going to get, and it's awesome. So our deeds can have a profound effect on other people. They can also get us rewards in heaven, which is really cool too. So your deeds aren't for your own salvation, they're for others. And the back part of that sentence, it says, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, right? We want to minister to believers and unbelievers, to saints and people who aren't saints. What is a saint? It's not a Catholic definition of a saint, or what some religions may call a saint. A saint, per the Bible, is anyone who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, period, full stop. A saint doesn't have to die to be a saint. They don't have to perform a miracle. They don't have to be canonized or any of this stuff that the Catholic Church may say. All that's completely false. If you're a believer, you're a saint, and no saint is better than another. We're all saved by the grace of God. We're all going to the same place, heaven, and we're trying to take the people around us who are not saints, and we're trying to encourage them through our deeds and our words to become saints. Verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. So it says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. So we've got this idea of diligence and assurance and hope. Diligent. We want to be busy about the things of God. We want to be diligent about that. We don't want to be sporadic and like, oh, I feel like reading the Bible today. Oh, I feel like going to church today. Oh, I feel like telling someone about Jesus today. We want to be diligent. Wake up with it on our hearts. Like, today I want to read the Bible. I want to pray multiple times. And I want to tell someone about Jesus. Whether it's just simply saying to someone at the counter at the restaurant or at the drugstore or grocery store, or someone delivers something, Amazon or something, delivers something to your door, and you're just saying, hey, you know that Jesus loves you. Or, hey, I like to pray people up for people I meet during the day. How can I pray for you tonight? Great. Would you mind if I pray for you right now? You know, something simple like that. Or do you go to church or read the Bible ever? No? You might would you consider coming to church with me one day? Right? Very simple things that we can do, but we want to be diligent about it. And if it's not on our minds and we're not prepared to do it, we're just not going to do it. So you got to make a great habit out of it. And it says, and then this word assurance. Do you understand that you are assured salvation if you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? It's not an if or a maybe. You look at a lot of other religions, and you look at a reincarnation religion like Buddhism or Hinduism, and they're hoping that eventually, after hundreds or thousands of lifetimes, they'll reach their state of nirvana or whatever. Or Islam, where they're hoping that they get to heaven, but they don't have that assurance unless they do a jihad, per what the Quran says, right? And they don't believe in a close personal relationship with God. We believe, because the Bible tells us, God tells us through His Bible, His love letter to us, that we can be assured of salvation if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And it talks about this hope, that hope into the end, right? Hope is so powerful. We want the hope in Christ to be so powerful, so tangible, that people can see it and feel it and just understand it around us. And it draws people. You've met a few people in your life probably who are like that. You're like, I'm just attracted to the hope that you have, to the assurance that you have, the diligence that you have, right? There's something different about you. And that's what we want, to attract people to Jesus through our deeds and through our words. And I'll finish off verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it's saying don't be sluggish, right? We just talked about the word diligent. Now he's saying sluggish. So be diligent, don't be sluggish. Are you being sluggish in how you're pursuing God right now? Are you lackadaisical in how you read the Bible or pray or talk to people about Jesus? Or are you being diligent about it? It says to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Right? Imitate those around you and imitate those before you. Imitate those who taught you about Jesus. Jesus being the first one we want to imitate because He's perfect and all of us are imperfect. And don't get jaded when someone who you admire, as one Christian you admire, does something that offends you, right? They're going to sin, and it's going to offend you if you stayed around them long enough, or you were able to watch a videotape of every moment of their day or their thought life. You're going to get jaded, but that's because we're sinners, right? And you're going to sin too, just like me and just like everybody out there. We don't excuse it. We just say, okay, and we're going to try and sin less as time goes on. And it says, imitate those through faith and patience. Have that faith in Jesus and be patient. God is long-suffering. He wants us to be long-suffering. He is faithful. He wants us to be faithful. Lord, thank you so much for this love letter, this Bible, the incredible words that you give us to us. Thank you that we get to study it together. So grateful just to spend time in your word and share it with others. And I pray that everybody listening to this would absorb it, grow in their own relationship with you, Lord, and that they would turn around and teach someone, whether it's one person or two people or thousands of people, whether that be in their neighbor in their neighborhood or a coworker at work or someone on the street or at a restaurant, or maybe they end up leading a small group or a church. Lord, but give us strength. Help us to find that joy in serving you. Amen.